Good morning, everyone. How is everyone today? Yeah, my name is Liz Creel, and I am a project communications director with John Snow Incorporated, which is a Boston-based public health consulting and management firm here, right here in town. We work on a range of issues worldwide. But more importantly today, I'm here as a board member, a very proud board member of the Global Health Council Conference. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit, take us back a little bit to a very short history of the council, just to set the stage, also to talk a little bit about the context for global health and some of the, can you all hear me? Okay. Is this better? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Okay. I'll just use my regular voice. I also want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in the global stage that are affecting global health and really how the Global Health Council can function, some of its priorities going forward, and ways in which we would like to involve all of you in the future. I'd also touch on some of our accomplishments over the past 6 months to a year, some exciting things coming up on the horizon, and then most importantly, how everyone can get involved with our important efforts. I think some of you who are familiar with the Global Health Council, and I'd love a show of hands as to how many people have engaged with the Global Health Council in the past. That's great to know. I think, as you know, we have had a tradition over our past 40 years of placing great value on our membership and the important role that our members bring to the overall voice of the council. And we really see ourselves as there is no them. It's really all about us, and that people are very important and the respective roles that they can bring to global health advocacy. I think, as some of you know, we did start in 1972 under the guise of the National Council for International Health, and then changed our name to become the Global Health Council in 1998. We have as our hallmarks our annual international conference that I know some of you have talked about before being very interested in revitalizing, and we're certainly considering ways to provide a similar kind of fora in the future. We've also always been seen as a go-to resource for advocacy, particularly in Washington, D.C., and this would be on Capitol Hill, within the administration, other federal government agencies, and, of course, most importantly, within the global health community itself and all the various actors that are part of that community. Some of our successes, past successes in advocacy, just as a reminder, with respect to HIV/AIDS, the Global Health Council was very involved with all aspects of PEPFAR, both from getting PEPFAR up and going, and then the two different cycles of authorization and then reauthorization that's coming up next year. Also, GHC was very involved with the International AIDS Candlelight Memorial that was a very successful grassroots community-led initiative that at the end of at least GHC's participation was in 100 countries and involved over 1,500 different communities. With respect to child survival, the U.S. Coalition for Child Survival was once upon a time a part of the council, and there was a lot of work done on raising awareness and funding for child survival. Also, here we go. The RX for Child Survival, everybody with me now? Great. Was a six-part series that broadcast with the cooperation of the Gates Foundation and the Merck Company Foundation and PBS that really, I think, brought to the public the critical successes in the area of child survival and, importantly, the ways in which the U.S. public and others could get involved. We also, during the period when the Global Health Initiative was, there were discussions around the initiative and the need to really broaden the frame for global health to include not just infectious diseases, but also women's health, nutrition, and other areas of health. The Global Health Council was very involved in those discussions during the period of the Obama transition. And presently, the Council has become very involved in the area of non-communicable diseases, which are with our work with the NCD Roundtable. And also, presently, if you go to the Global Health Council website, you'll see several different blog posts on different aspects of NCDs, one from Liz Strong on stigma and cancer, and then also a two-part series on non-communicable diseases in general. So please check that out. So who are we, and how do we see ourselves, and what is our vision for the future? Again, I come to the important word membership. We provide, there are really three main tenets of who we are and what we would like to do for our members. To provide critical information on global health priorities, the all-important role of advocacy for increased funding and attention in the global health agenda, and very strong support for our members to help all of them as a whole work towards equitable, inclusive, and sustainable solutions to global health challenges. And our dream, ultimately, is a world where good health for all is based on evidence-based policies, positive behaviors, and access to high-quality services. Now, I think this photo really shows, again, that we are a big tent. We welcome all global health entities from big to small, various disciplines, research to practice to program implementation, and we see ourselves as offering a series of nested services for our members. Our identity right now, we are quite strong with about 5,000 members, organizational members counting over 300. And importantly, we also want to emphasize our individual members. We value them, and we will continue to value them. And we also are not just focused in the U.S. We do have a strong representation in about half of U.S. states, but we're also all represented in about 40 countries worldwide. Now, what does the global stage look like right now, and what are some of the challenges for the Council? There are, as everyone knows, protracted budget and funding pressures, and we are in a period of flat funding and hopefully not declining funding. This is a very important time for everyone to take action, get involved, and share their voice, particularly on the Hill, where, you know, the appropriation cycle is a tangled mess, but where loud and active voices will continue to be important in trying to cut through that web. Right now we have a short-term continuing resolution that it goes until January 15th We're waiting on the outcome of the Budget Conference Committee to see what that's going to indicate. And then also waiting to see what's going to happen in terms of the debt ceiling with a deadline of February. Now, there also were in a world of proliferating donors, as Len noted, you know, U.S. government agencies, foundations, private sector, multilateral, and lots of independent actors and also individuals, and I would say high net worth individuals as well, who care passionately about global health and areas surrounding global health. That could be everything from water to gender to food security, nutrition. And also right now there is a rise in entrepreneurship, the desire for individuals to take action, to see the results of their funding. So everything, for example, through Kickstarter, crowdfunding through Kickstarter, or online advocacy that is real time and engages potentially a much wider swath of people than you can in person. Also, there's because of a shift in, just changing epidemiology, this focus, while non-infectious diseases will continue to be important, you know, the push for greater integration and consideration of non-communicable diseases, the various triggers for them, and, you know, the very real burden of morbidity and mortality associated with them. And then finally, I would end on what I call the two Ds, the plethora and rapidity of data, and then also just the digital world and the speed at which communication and data is communicated to all of us. This schematic here, it's not an error on the slide, don't worry, I know that we're in the 21st century. What this is trying to convey is just the range of issues and topics in global health. And again, all importantly, the Global Health Council presently, really in its Big Ten approach, can accommodate and support all of these areas. I think that's a very important message here, that we are not a siloed entity, that we have a very broad mandate. Also, as I said, on the data side, the data and digital side, Global Health Council is actually a tremendous one-stop shop for information that can be everything from good analysis about appropriations in the budget to thoughtful blog posts from our members to, I think, increasingly the opportunity and time for longer think pieces that will provide some real meat to some of the discussion around important issues. And then also, of course, the use of social media. The use of social media and the use of visuals to tell compelling stories that engage people's hearts and not just their heads. Now, what's on the agenda for us? We have the three C's, convening, communicating, and constituency building. And what I'd like to do is tie in some of our recent accomplishments with those three C's. So in terms of the convening, okay, we've held a symposium on the changing landscape of global health, the World Health Assembly, co-sponsored Global Health Week with the Washington Global Health Alliance, and created a panel on faith and secular global health programs with our partners, the Consortium for Universities of Global Health, and I'm sure that Keith will talk a bit more about that. Also importantly, as I mentioned, our ramp up of advocacy both for this year and next, outreach at the UN Global General Assembly, and also outreach to the private sector and foundations. In terms of other accomplishments, as I noted, we have built a new digital hub for the Council and are rolling out and implementing a blog strategy, and we're going to be doing a lot more with interactive webinars and I think also things like Ask the Expert Twitter Hours, Twitter Relays, and other kind of real-time communication. And finally, I'd like to talk a bit about our structurally, what has changed. We have a new board of directors that was elected in January 2013, and some of them are in this room. We have a new executive director, Dr. Christine Sow, with a background in epidemiology and is a veteran in this field with deep experience and passion and commitment for this issue and these issues, and we're very excited to have her on board. What's coming up? We're working on our strategic planning. We'd like to add two additional members to our board, faith and private sector. And we're hoping to create an emerging leaders in global health track to engage the new champions for global health issues. And this will be done in conjunction with the Public Health Institute. And then finally, of course, we'll be very engaged on the post-MDG agenda and what that looks like. Now, how can you get involved? Very quickly, help us in our advocacy on the Hill and with key government agencies. We have a delegation going to the Centers for Disease Control, and we anticipate having similar delegations like that, and we would welcome people's involvement with that. We have a budget roundtable and also a post-2015 roundtable, and would welcome your input and participation in that. And as I mentioned earlier, the opportunity to contribute blog and other content to our website and through social media. Now, how to join us? And when you look at these figures, let me tell you that there is a push right now. I like to call it the sequester special. That our rates have been reduced to the end of this year. And so, for instance, for individuals, we're now at 40, membership, student membership at 25, organizational down to 275, and the private sector has, that fee has also been halved. So in the end, it's all about health. Health is all about us. And please join your voice, join us in helping to advocate for global health worldwide, particularly for the world's most vulnerable populations. Thank you very much.